The lab coat could tell my grandmother anything, and she would have said, you got it. But again, we got brands, we have opportunities for people to figure out how to have a meaningful impact on this problem and, you know, create financial independence.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Pursuit of Profit podcast. Today, we're talking about the 2023 hype cycle around semaglutides and how to play that in franchising. One of the big trends in franchising this year has been medical and healthcare franchises, many of them based around weight loss, medical weight loss, testosterone replacement therapy. So it's kind of a new trend that we're seeing, and a lot of investors are getting involved. Enjoy the show, give it a listen. Episode 6.
What's going on?
How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Thank you.
Excellent.
How was the show?
Yeah, the show was good. I'm still, you know how it is. I'm still playing catch up. The day before you leave, you always get slammed with work and spend over a week catching up. But overall, the show was great. It was big. It gets bigger and bigger every year. It's incredible. A lot of brands. And you have to, you know, decide who you want to spend your time with. And ask the right pointed questions to try to gather as much info as you can and data on what's happening out there. So yeah, I mean, I'm like uncomfortable right now with the economy. I don't know if you feel that way. I don't know if anyone really understands what's going on. To me, there's just uncertainty. I don't know if the Fed really understands, you know, if they have control of what's going on, and that's probably why I'm so uncertain. Remember, inflation's transitory.
Oh yeah, right, yeah. I hang on their every word.
Exactly.
It's like the Jim Cramer inverse.
Right, exactly. So objective number one was to go back to the brands that you forget about, but they've always kind of worked, right? Like, you know, tried and true, like Warren Buffett says, what was the number one candy bar a couple of decades ago? The Snickers bar. What's the number one of the top candy bars today? Snickers bar, right? There's some things that just remain constant, right? So let's think back at those brands that have been around for a while, well-established, check in on them. You were working 20 years ago. Are you still working today? You know, we met with Floor Coverings International. You know, the brand's been around since the late 80s, multi-billion dollar franchisor, still just rocking and rolling, right? Doing their thing.
AI is not replacing that. AI is not putting your floor down. Not yet.
Actually, if anything, at one point, I don't know if you remember, years ago, they were using augmented reality technology to show a customer, a homeowner, on a tablet how the flooring would look on the home. They got rid of it. Customers didn't want that. We just walk in now with a few thousand samples, throw it on the floor. Customer wants to feel it. They want to see it.
It's simple. So true. To this day, you grab three cans of paint, you put in three swatches on your wall, your lighting, your room. You can't just look at a sample. You have to throw it on your wall. I mean, till this day. So, hey, look, AI serves a great purpose. I think AI has done a great job in the real estate market with staging. You ever go through Zillow and you see a photograph of a living room, and then all of a sudden you see a photograph, the same picture, but with a rug, a silk plant. It's like that with shadowing. I mean, that is really impressive what they've done.
Half the homes aren't even real. My mother sends me homes all the time. Like, Mom, you realize these aren't even real homes. These aren't even built yet.
They're not built. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, and you can always tell when you look at the price and then you look at the house and go, that doesn't add up. Right. Yeah, because you're buying the dirt. It's not even built yet. It's true.
So, you know, to me, like, what's boring is sexy right now, right? FCI, British Swim School. You know, remember metal supermarkets?
Oh, yeah.
A couple of years, right?
Oh, yeah.
I asked them, so who were you looking for? Someone who is like the most boring person. Mm-hmm. Someone who just wants something that works. 120 locations open, $2.3 million average unit volume.
Wow. Selling metal. Just selling a product that no one sells, which is, their model is really just selling small quantities of different types of metal instead of hiring a, you know, going to a manufacturer like a wholesaler.
Well, that's right. There are a few retail businesses, retail meaning like I'm actually selling a product or a widget, that still remain in franchising, if you think about it. batteries plus bulbs, you know, maybe some of like the pet care products, metal. So, I mean, it's usually these businesses where people say, I don't really even understand what I need, and I wouldn't even know where to go to get it. And when I get there, I wouldn't even know what to ask for, right? Something usually like really specific that it's like you have to go there to get it.
I'm a huge fan of Batteries Plus. Huge fan.
The great brand.
I have had them rebuild every power tool that I own for a fraction of the cost of buying, you know, an OEM battery pack. They've made a lot of my drills even better. I walk in with a 12-volt and I walk out with an 18-volt lithium. So they not only gave me my battery packs back, they gave me a better product, which is super cool.
Is that so? Are you super cheap?
Yeah.
Or are you trying to save the planet one product at a time?
Both.
By like, keeping things out of the dump.
I buy really good products, and then the replacement cost of those products is very high. A lot of these products have end-of-life use. So if you have a, let's just say you bought a $200 DeWalt drill and the battery's dead, and you call up DeWalt and you're like, hey, I need a battery for this drill that I bought 8 years ago. Yeah, we don't make it anymore. Or if you want it, it's going to cost you the same amount of money as the drill. Just go take your drill, your battery pack over to Batteries Plus. They'll give you a brand new pack and better than what you originally had. I've gone through it many times. My home theater system, the remote controls, all these things, you take them in there, they'll fix it. It's like, hey, do you guys have a battery for this real specialty item for a home movie theater? Oh, it's like, absolutely. They'll take it apart. They'll put a brand new one in. It'll even tell you this one might last longer. This one has more, you know, and then they get into the technical aspects of their business. I've done it for everything. My cars, everything, a boat, my generator, my, you know, pressure washer. I go there for everything. I just don't think they do a really good job of branding and educating the consumer that you can save a lot of money.
I was just going to say, the problem is, and I've been there before, I had no idea they even did that.
Yeah. And now they're in the LED bulb business, obviously, because of all the legislative changes and the phase outs and the sunset provisions of, you know, incandescent light bulbs. They got ahead of that market and started getting involved in a lot of the LED lighting. So anyway, there's a lot of cool brands. I mean, you could do this all day long, which is what we're trying to do, right? We're trying to create a pod where we talk about brands. People don't realize what's out there.
There's a lot of, I mean, this event, hundreds of brands. Everyone, you know, wants to get in front of you and wants a few minutes of your time to talk about the latest technology that they're working on, this new COO that they brought on. My favorite question is the model working?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then like that initial reaction usually tells you everything you need to know. Like, are the franchisees, like technology, no technology, are the franchisees happy? Are they making money? Are they profitable? You know, some brands are clearly working better than others. I think a common response is the franchisees that are willing to put the time in and the effort will usually outperform the ones that aren't.
Go figure.
Big shocker, right? We've been saying this for a long time. A lot of people are going to get into these businesses and be surprised at how much time and effort they have to put into making a small business successful. So yeah, so there's tried and true. They're the brands that have been working that, in theory, will most likely continue to work. And then you have the hype cycle brands, right? You just mentioned AI. AI has clearly been the biggest hype of 2023. The second biggest hype cycle has to be these semaglutides, right? That everyone's talking about right now. And for the first time that I could remember, I mean, could you think of another time when we talked about medical concepts so much in franchise? I mean, wasn't this like the one thing that everyone, oh, we gave haircuts, we gave a massage, we painted someone's home. Like it was like super simple, straightforward. I totally understand what you do. And the average Joe in any market, anywhere in the country could execute this model. And now all of a sudden medical is like the thing, healthcare services. So there's a play here. you know, for that Ozempic hype cycle, there's a way of playing that in franchising. So it's understanding how those brands are doing.
We should have had Doug Caparino on here. He could go on and on and on with Ozempic and what's that other product? It starts with a W-E.
Wegovy.
Yeah, Wegovy. Ozempic, Wegovy. There's a bunch of these products out
just
in the market.
Just another brand of a GLP-1, a semaglutide injectable.
Yeah, he's huge. He loves peptides. He's a huge fan of peptides. This drug apparently helps control like your blood sugar. It's really for diabetics, but you're not a diabetic. So it's a diabetes kind of, let's say, receptor agonist, but you're using it for people who really just want to lose weight. I'm seeing a ton of, you know, side effects from it. Matter of fact, I'm watching Botched again. Like I'm watching those episodes. My son loves it. He's 15. He loves it. So it's like, all right, I mean, they block everything out. It's not a big deal, but he's really intrigued with, you know, how they do this stuff. And he just came out, Dubrov, he just came out and said that Marie Presley, she died of blockage, right, in her small intestine. She, inside her body, 30 feet of her small intestine died before she realized she had a problem. That's insanity. So you're starting to see a lot of...
From a semaglutide or is there a connection?
She went in for, you know, kind of like a stomach band. So she went in for a different type of procedure. Why am I bringing it up? Because his warning on his video, he did a special video just because he read Marie Presley's autopsy report and said, this is exactly what Ozempic is doing. It's causing inflammation of the pancreas and it's causing issues. Because what it does, it slows the food down while it's moving through your body. It's actually slowing it down. And by slowing it down, it's manipulating how it releases the amount of insulin that it's allowed to release, you know, and then it's controlling your blood sugar levels, essentially. So you're seeing inflammation of the pancreas and you're seeing a lot of people with blockages in their bowels. So, of course, look, we've been here before. I mean, remember Fen-Phen? Right? Remember ephedra? It's super common. No one wants to do the work. What's interesting about this is how this ended up on my radar. We're in earnings season right now. This is actually very interesting. So the CEO of Walmart comes out and he says that we're seeing a slight change in the basket, he calls it. We're seeing a slight change in the basket of people who are on Ozempic, Wegovy, and other weight loss drugs. And we're finding this out through, it's called like anonymized data. So I had to look it up. Listen to this. The CEO of Walmart, they're using your pharmacy history to determine what drugs are you on and what impact will that have on the shopping cart. That's mind-blowing.
As long as you're a customer of their pharmacy?
Pharmacy, they have 5,000. Mm-hmm. They have 5,000 pharmacies. Think about that. They have an army of pharmacists. 5,000 pharmacies. Walmart's like top three pharmacy in the United States?
Yeah.
Top three. I mean, people talk about, well, you got to go to CVS. Well, you got to go to Walgreens. Really? They're right up there with them.
Yeah.
It's incredible. So I had to look up what this was. They're claiming that they won't mention your name, you know, because there's HIPAA violations, right? But they're actually looking, they have concluded that if you are on Ozempic or the current weight loss drugs, we'll call them the GLP-1, right? If you're on that type of drug, you are purchasing less food. You are also purchasing less fast food. And here's the second part of this, which is incredible. So now I'm going down a bunny trail, right? A little rabbit hole. So now I see an article by Life, the CEO of Lifetime Fitness. This is one of the top fitness. This is Lifetime Fitness is probably 1.5 billion in sales. Only one bigger than them is LA Fitness in terms of fitness revenue. They are creating a room inside Lifetime Fitness just for injectable medications. They're doing a pilot. So you're quite right. Like the game is changing. As it relates to, I thought this was only reserved for like the doctor's office. No, in franchising, you can get involved in these things through, you know, weight loss type brands. Interesting.
Well, I mean, it clearly works. And as much as we want to say, no, it's like, stop supporting big pharma. Forget the drugs. Intake fewer calories. Go for a walk. Be more active. As a society, we're just not doing it. I mean, depending on what study you read, we will be at a 60 to 70% obesity rate in this country by 2030. I mean, that's insane. It's horrible.
You watch Pixar's Wall-E?
No.
They predicted what we were going to look like. We're fat and we float on lawn chairs. They're like chaise lounges. And we get from our destinations laying down, right? We're sedentary and we're obese, just floating around.
Yeah, this is what we're going to do.
We're infantile consumers that spend their day immobile, hovering around in a lounge chair. That's what Pixar predicted in the movie Wall-E.
Well, I'm sure there are a lot of people that will benefit from this drug. I think the trick here is to, like, I've heard people say, took the drug for a short period of time, lost some weight, right? Clearly did not want to eat as much, lost some weight. Because I lost weight, I was able to enjoy exercise more. So I made the lifestyle changes, started exercising, getting more active, made some adjustments to my diet, get off the drug, and just continue on this new lifestyle now, right? It was a jump starter. Unfortunately, I think a lot of people will get off the drug, go back to the former way of, sedentary way of life and eating too many calories, and then say, okay, well, I got to be on this drug forever now. And I read an article the other day. The article was titled 4 Years on Ozempic. It's about a 33-year-old girl. She has type 2 diabetes. So she goes and meets with her endocrinologist. This was before everyone really knew that semaglutides were a thing. The doctor recommends semaglutides, as you said, to get the blood sugar level down and aid in weight loss. And lost 10 pounds in the first month. It's like magic, right? This is unbelievable. At 6 months, let's start ramping up the dosage. Let's see how far we can get with this thing. Now the side effects start kicking in and they start becoming debilitating. This woman was a teacher. She's at her desk with a bag. This is going to be a disgusting story. Vomiting 5 times a day. But you know what? I'm going to live with it because I'm losing weight. This is going to, in the end, this will get me healthy. These symptoms apparently occur in up to 20% of users. They say 10% of users experienced debilitating symptoms. So the doctors don't blame the drug. They just keep treating whatever the symptoms are. Oh, you have nausea, you're vomiting, take this other medication now. Oh, you get migraines, take this other medication, right? So we're just dumping more medications into this poor woman. After 2 years, she's vomiting over 12 times daily, over 200 times a week. She's diagnosed with something called gastroparesis, which is stomach paralysis. So her stomach just stops working. Like you said, she would vomit up food that she ate like 3 days ago. There's no cure to this, okay? Only after years did the doctors say, you know what? Maybe it's that Ozempic that you've been taking. This is after years of this happening. This woman is no longer working. She receives IV fluids on a good day to get some calories in. She maybe on a good day, she'll only vomit 5 times a day. And she's lost a ton of weight, but a lot of it is because
she's unhealthy. Yeah, she's not absorbing nutrients, right. Nothing, vitamins.
So again, big pharma is clearly not gonna share these stories. The doctors don't tell people, right? It's like there are side effects. Okay, that's one thing. If the side effects go away, all right, I'd stop taking the medication. The side effects. It's when there are these debilitating, life-changing, irreparable, uncurable side effects that people have to really consider. Like, is this worth it?
Justin, this shit has been going on since like 1960, 70. I mean, when you look back at all these drugs, we make it look like there's just a new drug that came out. The FDA has approved everything, and all these drugs have caused. So back in the day, they were all cardiovascular problems, right? Dexatrim, DMAA, Fen-Phen was giving people heart attacks. 1970s, Dexatrim, it was banned in the 70s. was all about hemorrhagic strokes in females. Sibutramine, ephedra, right? All, that was actually a natural drug found in the rainforest, I think,
that was jacking up
people's. And they approved these things. They put it out in the market. You see a bunch of people have heart attacks. Now they're messing. So they pivoted as an industry. It's like, okay, since 1970, all the things that we've produced caused heart attacks because we're trying to jack up the heart rate to increase that burn, right? And these people are losing weight. Well, what if we start manipulating sugar? What if we start manipulating the pancreas? What if we get away from the cardiovascular issues and now we're getting gastro issues and pancreas issues? And that's a death wish. Anything pancreas just scares the shit out of me. Makes me just think, I mean, you look at what Steve Jobs went through, you look at anyone in your world that's had any issue with their pancreas. I mean, it's a death wish. I'm not messing around with that.
I'm also reading, apparently when someone loses weight, typically about 20% of the weight loss will come from muscle mass. And what they're seeing with the semaglutides is roughly 40% of the weight loss is coming from muscle mass, which—
That's a tragedy.
You know, for people who are aging and elderly, I mean, that's a whole other risk now of muscle loss. So again, is this to say that it's bad, right? I think everybody just needs to be cautious, you know, consider risks and rewards and make their decisions. But again, there's a play here.
Oh, definitely.
There's a play in franchising. The update, you mentioned Game Day Men's Health. The update on Game Day Men's Health is they've awarded 400 units in just 4 months. And I don't know that I've ever heard of that kind of growth in such a short period of time. It's just incredible. Apparently the founder is doing all the right things. He's onboarding employees. He's growing the support side of his business. He's going to be a busy guy. They have a lot of work to do. And, but yeah, I mean, that brand just kind of checks a lot of boxes for investors right now. It is medical. It's a high margin business. There's a ton of demand for these products. It's a recurring revenue model. It's a sophisticated staffing model. It's a low labor model. Just kind of all the things that people are looking for. The interesting thing is, I think everybody thinks of that, you know, it's a men's health clinic. Everyone thinks of it as a hormone replacement clinic. They also do these weight loss therapies along with ED treatments. But I want to say, I remember hearing like the weight loss therapies were only like maybe 2% of their business. So you really don't hear people talking about Game Day for the purposes of the semaglutides.
Yeah, they're all connected though. You know, it's like, totally. I love how they try and isolate these things. They're like, yeah, well, you have an ED problem. Like you have this problem. It's like, if you have a hormonal imbalance, your body is no longer balanced, right? And that causes issues literally everywhere. From brain fog to sleep to the inability to burn calories, your metabolism.
Well, it's a vicious cycle. There's a correlation between weight gain and testosterone. Low testosterone causes you to gain more weight, right? It's just kind of a vicious cycle. So
we've got some really good brands in that category. You remember my favorite, I don't even know if you remember this. Remember Profile?
Profile by Sam. Yeah. I mean, some of these.
I love that brand.
I hear it's struggling.
Is it?
I hear it's struggling. Yeah, I spoke to the former CMO, maybe chief marketing officer, actually at this event that I was at. He just, I mean, again, there was just a ton of growth. He said they got ahead of themselves. They just weren't ready for it. So it is the risk with Game Day. I think I'm a little more comfortable with Game Day's growth. But, you know, usually the bottleneck when we talk about these SBNO, sold but not open, right? This is the big thing in franchising. It's one thing to sell a franchise. It's another to get it open and profitable and successful. There's also a lot of franchisors that can't figure out how to grow, right? So there has to be this healthy balance when it comes to franchise development. But the bottleneck is usually in real estate, right?
Right.
And so for a brick and mortar brand that needs a certain type of retail space, and then they have an extended build out, that could be a big bottleneck. I think with Game Day, it's more medical office.
Class A, B.
Right. Smaller footprint, medical office. It's in most markets more readily available, I would think. Less expensive. So let's hope they can get them open. You know, but Profile Based by Stanford was interesting. They had a big run. You know, I met with Medi Weight Loss.
Mm-hmm. Emilio, I like that brand.
Our team is actually, he's going to be out there meeting with them this week. So maybe we'll get him on and he can give us an update on what's happening there. But that's a brand that's been around since 2008, over 100 locations. They just got acquired by private equity. They accept insurance. The AUV seems to be there, top tier, 1.4 million AUV across the system, 840, pretty solid.
That's great.
So, and again, that's a brand that's been through some of those hurdles already, and it's
more mature.
Been around for 15 years. Yeah, a little more mature.
One of the issues I've experienced with these types of brands, people go, man, it's great. I'm not a doctor. It's like, you don't have to be a doctor. You can own an urgent care center anywhere in America and not be a doctor. You can own it. You know, you obviously you can't prescribe things. You'd have to hire medical professionals. What are you seeing with Medi? Are they hiring doctors? Are they putting them on retainer?
I think a lot of these brands don't want doctors. I think I don't know if it's true or not. I think there's this perception that doctors don't make the best business people. You know, we've seen the chiropractic brands start out only selling franchises to chiropractors. We've seen the physical therapy brands only sell franchises to physical therapists. And then they kind of say, all right, we want to sell franchises to business people because those are the ones that perform best, right? Just go hire the physical therapist. So yeah, I mean, the fact that I need an MD is what would keep people out of those businesses. These models are, you need a medical director. So you do need an MD on staff, not working in the physical location. They have to be on staff. Then the next question is, all right, where do I find this person right now? How do I manage this person? What am I looking for? How do I compensate them? Just, I don't understand all this. And these franchisors understand that's kind of the good thing is it puts up a barrier to entry, right? To most people who don't understand all this, and that keeps people out of the business. The franchisors recognize that it's also something that's going to prevent them from selling franchises. So they are supporting the franchise owners with this, right? We will go out and help you source this person. And apparently it's not very hard. Doctors kind of like playing this role. They're usually paid a couple to a few thousand dollars a month, and they have to put maybe 10 to 15 hours a month into, you know, auditing a certain number of patient files. So it's not a bad gig for them. And apparently it's not very hard to find the doctors that will play this role. And the franchisors help though. So yeah, so it's something, it's a barrier that's been taken down by the franchisors. Again, these are businesses that I wouldn't want to get in outside of a franchise, but the franchisors will certainly provide support with this. Again, there's been a few brands, right? The first one that launched as a kind of a full service med spa concept was Forever Young. We know them well, they're in our hometown, right? We knew them before they even started franchising, and that was a very interesting model. But again, they haven't sold it. I mean, they've had great growth. They haven't sold as many franchises as Game Day. The whole hype behind Game Day is just staggering. And I don't know why that is. Maybe because they have too many services. Maybe it's people view it as too complex. The Botox and the skin treatments and the sclerotherapy and the microneedling. And they're kind of all things to all people, whereas Game Day is a little more targeted.
And the revenue, it was like being a generalist versus a specialist. What do you do? I do TRT replacement. We handle ED. We handle this. We handle that. All right. So you're offering a very small menu of services. What's your average revenue? It was over $2 million. When you looked at Forever Young, what are you offering? It was like a Greek diner menu. It's like, we do a lot of things, from Botox injection to facials to IV infusion, vitamin infusion therapy. It was like, man, you guys are all over the place. And you didn't really see the increase in the AUV compared to a brand that was laser focused on testosterone replacement. Plus the TRT to me is built in recurrence. You're on it, you're staying on it, and there's a monthly recurrence to it, where if I get an IV bag of vitamins, I may not go back for 3-4 months. The recurrence may not be there.
All right, so question. So you and I used to be in the property restoration business, right? One of the things that we loved about that business was that it's hub and spoke.
Mm-hmm.
So many revenue streams, right? We used to have the joke, you know, phone rings, we pick up the phone and the customer would say, do you guys,
yes.
Can you guys help me with yes?
Yes.
Right? Yes. Like, say yes and figure it out later.
Right.
So we used to look at it and say, why would you own
dryer vent wizard?
A dryer vent
say that.
Right. Cleaning business when that's just one little spoke around the property restoration hub? Why would you own a carpet cleaning business, a duct cleaning business? I mean, right, you can go on and like, we do that in property restoration. So with something like this, would you own an IV drip franchise? Or no, like, would you rather own the Forever Young, where I have all these revenue streams that should lead to higher volume because I could do more things?
It's an interesting question. What we've learned, look at a general practitioner in America. They're making, you know, $100,000. And then you look at someone who says, I'm not going to be all things to all patients. I'm just going to do, you know, I'm going to be a podiatrist. I'm going to be an anesthesiologist. I'm going to pick an oncologist. I'm going to pick a specialty. I'm going to own that vertical market, and I'm going to make 5 to 10x what a GP is making. I like the laser focus, but in business, I also like casting a wide net to be able to offer all these ancillary services when someone walks in. So I hear your argument, and I agree with you. I do love managing risk in business with hub and spoke business models.
Yeah, I think one of the important things for me here is if adding these other services makes the business a lot more complex because I have to hire different types of specialty employees to provide those services, I'm probably out.
That's like, what turns me off. Exactly.
Is it worth it to me? Right. If, like with Forever Young, for example, the same esthetician could provide many different types of services, the same nurse practitioner can inject Botox and she can also inject testosterone, right? So we were not adding a lot of labor. Same thing in the property restoration business. Our tech who could extract water could also
fire and mold,
remediate mold and clean up after a fire. All right. So I'm cool with that, right? I think that's where you have leverage, right?
Agreed.
That's where the potential for scale really plays out. There's a lot of benefits there.
There's a lot of weight loss brands. We should do a newsletter on it. You got Medi, you got Diet Centers, you got Medi Fast, you've got Profile, you have Be Balanced, and you know I'm a huge fan. So you just talked about Game Day. Well, what's the inverse of that? That would be Be Balanced, where they focus solely on women and estrogen and progesterone and cortisol, right? And all these different, each bucket of hormones need to be balanced. And when you take, look at the stress hormone, just look at cortisol, right? Look at any marriage. Look at any female, let's say over 40. Look at some of the issues that we encounter when we're not balanced. It could be problematic. Hot flashes, low libido, it's countless. I told you a story. I had a guy on my soccer team with my son, and he's like, we're gonna get divorced. He's like, I can't handle it anymore. I said to him, I go, look, I got a brand, I believe in this brand, they're in the area, you should check him out. This guy literally hugged me many weeks later at a travel soccer game and said, you literally saved my marriage. This shit works. Plant-based, all natural.
What is it, an injectable?
No, it's cream. And it's meal planning. It's everything no one wants to do. It's called work, right? What is that statement? Success only comes before work in the dictionary. It's true. You got to fucking work. You have to put the effort forth. You have to want it. So some of the brands that we represent, it's a balance. It's not a silver bullet. And I know you know this because you're really, really into the health and fitness aspect. It's meditation. It's eating, right? It's eating the right food. It's sleep, basic sleep. It's getting up, it's getting natural light in your eye, right? That circadian rhythm. It's the sum of all these little things that make you healthy.
It's so true.
It's not fucking Ozempic.
We've gotten away from the basics.
Yes. You know what's very interesting to me talking about all this stuff, whether it be depression or weight loss, is this photobiomodulation, like red light therapy? This is intriguing. You know, I thought this was, I'll be honest with you, I thought this was just stupid. I did. I thought it was the pet rock of weight loss and the pet rock of you know, it's like, this is not going to be here. I actually looked into this a little bit. This was actually developed by NASA in the 90s. And they were trying to figure out how to grow plants in outer space quickly. What they found is that abrasions on their hands were healing rapidly. And they said, wow, there's something here. So they started using this. There's a bunch of names for it, right? Like the low-level laser and photobiomodulation.
Red light. You're talking about the red light.
I'm talking strictly about red light laser, correct? Yep. It's that near-infrared diodes. You're going into this, what looks like a tanning bed. You go basically into a tanning bed, except it has these infrared diodes, and they are apparently getting just deep enough in the cell fat cell membrane to, let's just, I'm going to talk layman's terms here, to just loosen it up so that the body naturally just flushes it out, right? Interesting. But it's also, now they're talking about, wait a minute, this is helping people for sleep deprivation. This is helping people for depression. It's very interesting to me. I'm going to call Beam. Is it Beam?
So
I want to do it. I want to do a session.
There's two brands to play here. We actually had a client invested in Beam a few months ago. And it's funny you say that, because I made a note at this conference that I was at. One thing was medical weight loss. And the other thing to keep in mind was exactly this red light therapy. It is real. The scientific papers are, I mean, it's been well studied. Huberman on the Huberman Lab podcast has been talking about it for a while.
Okay.
So the benefits are real. And again, there's a play in franchising. Yeah, is there an education that has to take place? Yeah. From a business model perspective, this is the first time we've had something. I mean, so think about personal care. Think about any type of personal care service. A hair salon, right? I have to hire a hairstylist to give the haircut. A massage franchise, I have to hire an LMT to give a massage. And everyone's heard about all the issues with hiring LMTs. There's mm-hmm. just not enough of them, and they don't last very long. This business is basically a tanning salon business, only it's actually beneficial and making people healthier as opposed to giving people cancer. And the reason I say that is because, first of all, they are using AI. Customer walks in, they walk up to a computer screen, answer a bunch of questions, and it tailors a customized program for the customer. And then, you know, you have 2 to 3 employees working there. Mm-hmm. One's working the desk. The others cleaning out the rooms after each customer. You take the customer into the room, they use the equipment, and they leave. So the equipment is your greatest employee. Your equipment is the one doing the work. And for all these people out there right now that want passive absentee businesses, this is not that, but we always look to low labor models, and this is certainly one of them. So there's Beam. And then there's another brand called Perspire, which has been around even longer than Beam. Reasonable investment businesses, really cool, clean, modern looking, right? It's the kind of brand, like you'd be proud of it. You know, you'd be proud to invite your friends in, you know, come on for a little, like, what do you call that? A little sauna, a little red light sesh. Come in for a little sesh.
Apparently, yeah, there's no like UV. There's no skin damage. Apparently, this thing will help your skin's appearance. This will help wrinkles, reduce wrinkles. If this is true, and this is going to be a game changer. You want to know what? You mentioned this a long time ago. You're starting to see all these different modalities now of, you know, maintaining beauty and your health and longevity. I just looked up the short interest in Planet Fitness, and I was shocked.
Apparently, they have some debt issues. Is that...
It just increased 35%. There are millions of shares being shorted for this brand. Well, I don't know if it's for those reasons. I'm wondering if it's for these reasons, right? What I looked at, Planet Fitness is an interesting business model. $10 a month. you want to hear these? This is disgusting, what I'm about to say. This is a business model that literally could give a shit about you and your health. Literally. They have 16.5 million members operating in 2,324 locations. That is 7,000 people per location. I challenge anyone listening, and you, walk into your local Planet Fitness and I want you to look at the occupancy sign on the wall and tell me what it is for that square footage of a unit. 7,000 people are buying memberships per location. It's just disgusting to me.
What a business.
I love making money. I'm a capitalist, but I'm not into that.
I have a friend who travels a lot. And he's like a hardcore, like he's not the kind of guy like who would work out in a no judgment, right? He's kind of like a hardcore lifter, right? But he has a membership at Planet Fitness because they're everywhere. So when he's on the road, it's like, I don't know, what, 10, 15 bucks a month? And he could use it anywhere in the country. And when he's on the road, yeah, there's always a Planet Fitness somewhere nearby. So it's like, it's the greatest thing. So I'm traveling a month or two ago, I'm up in New York, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to grab a membership. Like, what a great idea. So I walk in and I'm like, listen, I'm traveling. I'm on business. I'm here for like 2-3 days. But I'm not looking for a free pass. Like, I want to get a membership because I travel a lot and I'm going to be in other places and I want to get a membership. The guy's like, how long are you here for? I'm like, 3 days. He's like, go ahead. I'm like, but I'll get a membership. He's like, nah, he's like, you're good. I'm like, you don't want me to like sign a waiver, right? Like, what if I drop away? Like, what? Just go work out. It's like, we don't care.
Were you there on pizza day where they give away pizza on Tuesdays and donuts?
Stop.
I don't know if they're still doing that post COVID, but they were giving away.
It's a real thing.
They were doing pizza. They were doing donuts. They, you know how you would say, like, are you going to eat that? And you go, yeah, today's my cheat day. They just had a lot of cheat days there, apparently.
This is like going to the doctor and the doctor's saying, you know what? Blood pressure looks great. Yeah. Cholesterol's right in line. Here's a free pack of smokes.
That's right. Enjoy.
Good for you.
Yeah. Enjoy. Do a little road rage today on your way home.
I'm your dentist. You have no cavities. Here's a bunch of candy.
Exactly.
Go live it out.
Makes no sense to me. Look, the business is simple. I get it. I get it now with these metrics, right? It's sell memberships, pray they don't come in. It's simple. Sell memberships to as many people as possible. It's $10 a month. It'll fly under the radar on their credit card bill. None of them will cancel. All we do is sell memberships and hope they never all come in. The occupancy of this building is 900 people. We sold 7,000 memberships in this gym.
I wonder if they're still growing. I mean, I love what's happened in franchising and in fitness. I mean, it's for years, it's been one of the fastest growing categories in franchising. But things have really trended towards boutique, right? Smaller footprint, more brands that are hyper-focused on a specific modality. I mean, I like, from a business opportunities perspective, I like those brands way better, lower investment, less labor. You actually do care if customers come in, right? It's more results driven.
Yeah. I'm making my living on 300 people, right?
And you still have those benefits of recurring revenue, right? That predictable recurring revenue that you have from a gym membership.
We own gyms. If we were in the business, we did care about people. We had registered dietitians on staff. We operated a different model, fewer people, more intimate, how you pay that premium per month. There are 41,000 gyms in this country and we are the fattest people on the planet. There is no refuting. Gyms alone do not work. It's just that they don't. The $35 billion industry of recurring gym memberships, and think about that, $35 billion a year is spent on gym memberships on 41,000 gyms with the fattest people on the planet. There are states in America that have a BMI classified as obese to morbidly obese. And the top three players in the space are LA, Lifetime, and 24 Hour. And of those three brands, you don't even have 20% of the market. They don't even represent 20% of the $35 billion. This is a highly fragmented industry. I'm also fascinated by who goes. Because when I go to the gym, I'm 50, right? So when I go, I want to be around, you know, the older guys. I don't want to be around all the young guys that are throwing around a lot of weight. So do you know 80% of all gym goers were born after 1979? 80%. 1979 is the end of my generation. I'm 64 to 79.
So what is your generation doing?
My generation is not going to the gym. clearly 80%, they're overweight, they're on medication, and I am the last generation that believed in the lab coat. If the lab coat told you you need this prescription, you did it. The millennials look at the lab coat and say, no, I'm going to make lifestyle changes. I'm not taking that. Big difference. Anyone born 1980 and beyond, we refer to as millennials, right? And Gen Zers. They don't look at the lab coat. They don't look at the physician the way pre and post depression era babies looked at the lab coat. You could tell my grandmother that the lab coat could tell my grandmother anything and she would have said, you got it. But again, we got brands, we have opportunities for people to figure out how to have a meaningful impact on this problem and, you know, create financial independence.
Think about the role that franchising's played in all this. Think about how franchising changed the way we eat, the number of calories that we consume in a day, highly processed foods. And, you know, now there's franchisors that could try to fix or remedy the situation. If I were an analyst, I'm a hold right now on boutique fitness. It's crowded. We've seen these boutique fitness brands come and go. We've been a part of them. We've owned boutique fitness brands that are no longer around. It's a very trendy industry. So our top pick was always the blue chip, the largest, right? The largest boutique fitness franchisor in North America is Xponential Fitness. And we sat back on them for a while. Club Pilates was their first brand. They had tremendous growth, again, in a short period of time. And we're like, all right, this thing is going to implode. And then it didn't. They got them open. Franchisees were happy and successful. And they just kept growing. Their second brand was Cycle Bar, Row House, right? So they just kept growing this thing. At some point, we went out there. We met with them. We wanted to see it, feel it. Met with some of the brand presidents. Very impressive facilities. We got comfortable and started showing it. They took the company public 2 years ago, maybe 2021. And then in June, I don't know, have you seen this short seller report, Fuzzy Panda?
How many shares are they shorting? Do you know?
They definitely took a large short position. I mean, listen, these short sellers are predatory. I mean, right? It should really be illegal. I've owned stocks that have been hit by short sellers. But again, you read the report and it's like, all right, it's not false. I mean, they're not making stuff up. Yeah, I think let's see how the next few. I think there's an earnings call coming up here soon. I don't know when that's going to happen. Obviously, yeah, I asked questions to the development team over there. Just everything's fine. I was on a conference call with the CEO, Anthony Geisler. It was at the time. I want to say it was the top performing stock out of all the companies that IPO'd in 2021.
Wow.
So the stock was strong. It's a low float stock, easy to manipulate, right? And he's like, they decided to attack it because they can make a bunch of money. And I want to say it tanked like 40% that day that they dropped the report. So they did make a ton of money. These short sellers usually do. It's an interesting report though. I mean, there's some personal attacks on the CEO, saying he has a history of misleading investors and business partners. They called Expo an abusive franchisor that's a house of cards. They claim that a bunch of the brands are struggling. They claim that the company makes most of its money on equipment sales and franchise fees as opposed to royalties. They attacked them for claiming that they have zero permanent closures, when in reality, they're taking their closed locations onto the company's balance. I mean, we knew that, right? They're selling their corporate-owned locations that they've bought back for, you know, a dollar in most cases. So we'll see. I mean, it's hard to argue with the results. Through the end of the first quarter of this year, trailing 12 months revenue jumped 71% to $265 million. 23,100 locations they're now larger than Orange Theory and F45 combined. F45 has been struggling as well. I mean, they're in big trouble.
Yeah, they're drowning in debt.
F45 went public at $1.4 billion valuation. It's now worth under $100 million.
Yeah, so crazy.
So what do you do with this, right? I think there are some brands with Xponential that are still performing well. They've sold a lot of franchises, right? Not everyone's going to be successful, right? So I don't know. I think we wait and see what's going on with the next few earnings calls.
See what their forecast is.
See what the forecast looks like. You know, again, if you view it as a high risk, focus on some of these needs over wants. focus on some of the health services brands, right?
Right. Yeah, I like that. And that's probably why you're seeing the short interest on Expo and Planet. You're seeing the evolution of the industry. As I said, 41,000 gyms, fattest people on the planet. You don't need to be a statistician to figure out that that doesn't work.
Yeah, agreed.
You want to close it out?
I think that's good for today. We talked about how to play some of the hype here. The 2023 hype has been around AI, Ozempic, medical and healthcare services, and there are plays in franchising where you can provide a good service to help people. We'll see you all soon.